Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. This is usually a weird week, a quiet week for comedy. I'll talk about that in the second half. I'm also awaiting Roe v. Wade late night jokes. Those aren't in yet. The late night shows are live this week. Chelsea Handler is in for Jimmy Kimmel. But some leftovers from last week, Stephen Colbert had talked about the January 6th House Select Committee meetings. Remember when that was the top story? Representative Liz Cheney spoke directly to the at-home audience saying, "Don't be distracted by politics. This is serious. We cannot let America become a nature of conspiracy theories and thug violence." Colbert said, "It's true, because if we do, the reptilians who run the New World Order will steal our spines to use as radio towers to broadcast our location to Bill Gates." Seth Meyer said, "I feel like as a nation, we haven't all fully appreciated the degree to which the president basically almost got the vice president killed. It feels like something you only read in history books, like the Burr-Hamilton duel. Of course, if Trump and Pence ever dueled, one thing would be certain, Trump ain't doing the full 10 paces." Like I mentioned, I haven't seen much about Roe v. Wade. Believe me, I've typed several times into the Google machine, comedians Roe v. Wade, comedians abortion. You know who comes up? George Carlin. George is having a heck of a 2022. One I did see, Amy Schumer reacted to the news. She shared on her Instagram story post from writer and producer Tracy Egan. One of those posts said, "Late term abortions via school shootings are still available. We shouldn't determine our rights by interpreting the intentions of a bunch of slave owning rapists who've been dead for hundreds of years." Switching topics, Better Call Saul is coming back. They announced a guest star for the final episodes. Carol Burnett, she's 89. Carol Burnett will be on the show playing a character named Marion. Carol Burnett said, "I'm thrilled to be a part of my favorite show." That's all we know. The AJC spoke to Bert Kreischer. He's having fun on tour. In each city, Bert tries to do something fun. They were in Indiana and visited Notre Dame. In Louisville, they checked out Churchill Downs. In Atlanta, he'll hang out with Nikki Glaser. Bert said, "Why tour and just sit in your hotel room? I want to go out and have fun. This tour is a labor of love for me. He isn't really paying himself well, but he's providing for his friends market rate appearance fees, gift bags, tour buses, and private jet travel." How? Netflix has paid him a lot in the past. Bert said, "They're subsidizing my entire life. I don't know where I'd be without them. And they always have your back as an artist." They also started talking about Bert's wife, who grew up in Florida. Leanne raises chickens. She'll wake up early to make biscuits with sorghum syrup for the girls. She's forever a small town chick. You can take the redneck out of Bowdoin, but you can't take Bowdoin out of the redneck. The Laugh Button wrote at length about Andy Kaufman's Elvis impression, one of my favorites. The first time Andy did Elvis was on a show called Kennedy at Night. The show was produced by an old college friend. They invited Andy Kaufman to come out in honor of Elvis performing nearby that night. Andy went on and lip-synced to Elvis. That was the only time he ever lip-synced. Every other performance was Andy actually singing. He even gave an interview in character. But where the impression really popped was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Andy came out doing his foreign man character. If you're not familiar with that, think Laka from Taxi. Pretty much similar. Foreign man, speaking in a very broken language, is a man that hails from a fictional island. He does some lackluster impressions of Archie Bunker and Ed McMahon before breaking out a drop-dead Elvis. If you've never seen this clip, seek it out now. Why are you even listening to me? Go do that. The Laugh Button writes, "To say he had the ability to leave the audience stunned is an understatement. It really is. You're just like, wow, what is happening here with Foreign Man and then Elvis?" Yeah, it's fantastic. In 1977, Kaufman filmed a special that ABC didn't even air it until the summer of 79, once Andy had broken out on Taxi. On that special, he did arguably his best Elvis, dressed in a brand new white jumpsuit designed by Elvis's own designer. Andy does an impeccable performance of Treat Me Right. The Laugh Button says a big standout of his impression was also how he matched Elvis's nuances between the songs. Andy's final special happened in 1983 on PBS. What? Dressed again in a new suit made by Elvis's designer. Andy kept things short but sweet this time around with his Elvis impression, singing Blue Moon of Kentucky. Andy would pass away a year later. A quick stop off at Gossip Corner from TMZ. Amy Schumer had to call it quits with Penn Badgley's wife. Apparently, Penn Badgley's wife was working as Amy Schumer's doula when Amy was recovering from her C-section. Amy was on Penn Badgley's podcast Podcrushed and told Penn why she fired his wife Domino. She said qualifications weren't an issue here, but she was like a goddess roaming around her house while Amy was feeling less than perfect. So the reason was looks. Let's hope they all keep it friendly and the labor board doesn't get involved. I don't think you can fire somebody for thinking they're hot. All right, I got to tell you, like, for reals, I am loving ExpressVPN. I was sitting out in the backyard, and I got a text from Mark Francis. Mark is the host of Palace Intrigue, the podcast about the royal families, for which I'm the writer. Now, let me call up the text. Mark wrote, if you want to take it, this is really what he wrote. If you want to take advantage of your ExpressVPN, there's good performances from Glastonbury on the BBC iPlayer all weekend. So I went on to the BBC iPlayer and connected to my ExpressVPN, where, of course, I'm in Docklands, UK, where I record the podcast every day. You guys know that, right? Right. So I logged into the BBC, which was like, oh, cool. John's here in the Docklands here in the UK where he lives, of course. And I'm like, awesome. What's up, BBC? And I watched Paul McCartney at 80 years old do 2 hours and 40 minutes. It was incredible. So like, what a tremendous use of ExpressVPN. You want to watch a Paul McCartney concert? It's not going to be on NBC, folks. I got news for you. Many websites or apps are blocked or geo-restricted depending where you live around the world. Think of a YouTube video you weren't able to watch, or a website you couldn't visit, or say a sports match you weren't able to stream, or maybe a Paul McCartney concert that you really wanted to watch. ExpressVPN allows you to reroute your connection to a server in the country of your choice, making geo-restrictions a thing of the past. Every device you have has a unique IP address, which should be traced back to you. When you use a VPN, your connection gets routed through one of ExpressVPN's 3,000-plus servers, hiding your real IP address and replacing one of their own. That allows you to browse the web anonymously. With servers in 94 different countries, you have a wide variety of places you can choose to appear from. You hear what I'm saying? All right. You want the deal? Go to ExpressVPN.com/DCN, ExpressVPN.com/DCN. Find out how you can get 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/DCN. I'm telling you, I can't praise this highly enough. I enjoyed the heck out of the McCartney concert. And here's a question. If Paul McCartney can stream a concert and I can watch it at home, and now I'm more excited about Paul McCartney, why is John Mulaney not letting people bring laptops into his show? Huh? Jeremy dropped me an email. We went back and forth. It was quite friendly. Jeremy wrote, about your comments regarding Chappelle and Mulaney, I disagree with you. If there were not a policy on no cell phones, people would most certainly record and put it on social media. I'll jump in there. Totally agree. Oh, believe me, people would be holding up their phone, filming it. But as a consumer, are you going to watch half-assed video of Dave Chappelle in concert? You're not. You're not. Think of all the videos you've taken yourself at concerts. Do you ever go back and watch those? You don't. Jeremy writes, it's not that many people are bootlegging. I don't think they're worried about that. But by having that material online, it opens up for people to cherry pick bits out of context and make accusations of racism or sexism or any other ism. Also, it ruins it for the rest of us who have yet to see their new material. As for not being spoiled, yeah, like I feel you on that, especially as a big Star Wars fan and Disney Plus insists on releasing things at 3 a.m. Eastern. I don't know when they expected me to watch Kenobi. Am I supposed to set the alarm for 2:55 and get up and watch a show in the middle of the night? Why Disney Plus? Why? So I get the spoiler thing. I think, though, you can probably avoid John Mulaney spoilers if you try. I don't know. As far as picking bits out of context, I was thinking about that on the run this morning. And what I would say about that is, let's say you did. Let's say John Mulaney did a bit about Martians, and the Martian community got really upset about the Martian bit that John Mulaney did. Is it actually going to hurt him? Dave Chappelle right now, I think, is close to his peak powers. He might have been at peak powers when he walked away from Chappelle's show 20 years ago, but Chappelle right now is the most influential man in comedy, arguably. Maybe it's Joe Rogan, but I don't feel like the recent controversies have hurt Dave Chappelle. I'm sure when Netflix drops the next Dave Chappelle special, everyone's going to have eyes all over it. So I don't know if you pulled out, hey, look what Mulaney said about the Martians. I don't know if it really would hurt him or not. Then Jeremy gave me a little business, said, really? You bring a laptop to a stand-up comedy show? That's a little pretentious, don't you think? Anyhow, love the show. Thank you very much, Jeremy. So as I explained to him on the side, my laptop is my business computer. And when I do go into an office in New York City, I work on this very laptop that I'm recording on right now, and I need to have it with me. So personally, if I were to leave the laptop in the office overnight because I want to go to a John Mulaney show, then I can't do anything. What if a comedian dies at 3 a.m? I wouldn't be able to bang out an emergency podcast. I'd have to record on my phone. It would sound like that airport episode, you know? Also, post-pandemic, I don't go into the office, well, at all, but I wasn't going in 5 days a week anyway, so I need the laptop with me, so that's why I might bring a laptop to a stand-up comedy show, because I work in Manhattan and then commute back to the suburbs. Jeremy then went to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and bought me not one, not two, three large iced coffees. Here's one now. This is actually my second of the day. I got my normal breakfast one and then went out for the run. Then I was thirsty and had to go to the post office anyway. And the donut chain is right by the post office. I'm like, I'll get another one. So thank you very much, Jeremy, who wrote, hey, man, it's the guy who emailed you about the laptop. Here's some cash for you to store your laptop at the next Mulaney show. Thanks for the informative comedy news. Although I disagree with you on a handful of comedy matters, I appreciate and respect the amount of time and heart you put into your show. Hey, for everybody, including Jeremy, if you disagree, I want to hear from you. I like having discussions. So the various ways you can connect with me, email john@thesharkdeck.com. It's in the show notes. Facebook group, Daily Comedy News. Instagram is at Daily Comedy News. Twitter is at DCNPod, because the person who is at Daily Comedy News tweeted once, and God help you if you can get in touch with somebody at Twitter support. But seriously, everybody, if you disagree, I would love to hear from you so we can have a respectful discussion. Absolutely. By the way, speaking of John Mulaney, the laugh button says, John Mulaney staged an intervention with Seth Meyers to wear a suit. Mulaney was on Seth Meyers' show and held out a shoe and announced he was holding an intervention to get Seth Meyers to put on a suit again. Mulaney told him, we're not working from home anymore. You're not in an attic in Albany or wherever you go when you're not here. You're still dressing like you had a date and didn't want to wear the same clothes from work, so you stopped at the Gap. Seth says, we made a choice not to go back to wearing suits, mostly because the show's on at 12:30, and I don't think anybody who's watching is wearing an effing suit. If people were wearing suits and they're home at 12:30, I'd put my suit back on. Some activity on the Facebook group page. Again, this is what I was saying earlier. Daily Comedy News podcast group. DR posted, just watched Would It Kill You to Laugh on Peacock. It was great, really original, and no canned laughter. My biggest pet peeve. So I haven't gotten to that yet. Been watching Paul McCartney concerts for 2.5 hours. But Vulture wrote about it, saying in 2019, comedians Kate Berlant and John Early released a sketch on YouTube called Have You Been? The sketch's premise is that Early and Berlant, playing themselves, happen to run each other in a home goods store and play a game of faux polite competitive catching up. The competition is so inane and so vicious that they manage to convey to each other that they both know this chic home goods store so well that they have their own nicknames for the store employees. Berlant and Early's new hour-long special for Peacock, Would It Kill You to Laugh, unspools a new series of sketches that toy with the ideas and moods of Have You Been? It's a reflection on Berlant and Early's comedic relationship, laughing at their history and playing up different flavors of partner dynamics. In its totality, it's a monument to the surrealist queer pettiness, standing high atop a foundation of incredible comedic harmony. Vulture has a lengthy review here. I shared that on the Facebook group page. I think I put it up on the Reddit as well. That's Daily Comedy News. But sounds like that is a lot of fun. All right. Also on the Facebook group, Scott Beckett was looking for suggestions for comedy podcasts. Tatiana suggested Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out podcast. Daniel suggested The Dollop, Rob Lowe's podcast, Fly on the Wall with Dana Carvey and David Spade, and of course, Conan O'Brien. DR shared a list of the 60 best comedian podcasts you must follow in 2022, and apparently this thing is number 46. Edging out Kathleen Madigan. Really? Even I'm picking Kathleen Madigan over me. Sorry, Kathleen. I chimed in as well. I wrote Gilbert, Marin, Office Ladies, Weekly Planet. That's two Aussie guys who do pop culture. They talk about like Batman movies and Kenobi and Star Trek and Buzz Lightyear, that kind of stuff. They're really funny. Whatever Happened to Pizza McDonald's, Blank Check, Dana Gould. And you know what's pretty good? And I'm surprised I'm saying this, and I don't know why I'm surprised. I don't really think about this person, but I think I'm supposed to be like, oh, he sucks. Bill Maher's podcast is really interesting. I really like the Jimmy Kimmel episode, and I listened to one with Sammy Hagar over the weekend. The William Shatner was pretty good. So Bill Maher's podcast is pretty good. Couple more things. Sarah Cooper, you know Sarah. She used to pantomime to Donald Trump videos on TikTok, and now she's in a Jerry Seinfeld movie for some reason. Her agent is the best in the business. Sarah Cooper got a profile in The Hollywood Reporter. Wow. Good job, Sarah Cooper's agent. I mean, amazing. They asked Sarah about her rise to fame when she was pantomiming to Donald Trump videos on TikTok and said, I think it was just weird because we're in a lockdown. People say, oh, you're famous. I'm like, no, I'm not. I still don't really believe that. People recognize me every once in a while. I don't know. I think at the time I felt like I was being punked. I felt like someone was playing a big trick on me. You know, when you see people that you admire for so long, like Ben Stiller. I've loved him for so long, and now he's talking about me or tweeting my video. It's surreal. And I would say the whole time I was in kind of a daze. If I stopped for a second and be like, oh my gosh, I'm working with Maya Rudolph and Natasha Lyonne right now, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Then 2 years later, I'm like, oh my God, I was actually in a scene with John Hamm, and I didn't know what to say to him at all. It didn't happen slowly. It happened very, very quickly. I had to, and I still have to work on this, say, okay, this is just a person. This is just another human being. I can talk to them. I can be normal. That is my pro tip to everybody, and this is informed by my entire career, but especially the SiriusXM part. When you meet a celebrity, just be normal. John Hamm knows that you really like him in Mad Men. You don't have to tell him. Just talk to him like a normal person. Sarah Cooper says, I want people to laugh. I want people to enjoy it. But at the same time, the only way for them to like and enjoy it is if it's not what they asked for. No one asked me to lip sync Trump. I did that. I came up with that because I was jealous. I was like, I want to be a doofus spouting ridiculous stuff and having people think I'm brilliant. I would love that. So that's why I did it. But people actually hate getting exactly what they want when it comes to art, when it comes to comedy. So that's the tough thing about it. Yes, you want to please them, but in order to please them, you can't worry about pleasing them. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.